Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Into this series that we've been talking about, the weapons of our warfare. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, that says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I've said it before, as Christians, we are in a battle against darkness. But here's the problem I see many times. Many Christians are still trying to fight their battles using carnal weapons, or their old weapons. In other words, when somebody's talking about you and somebody is hurt you, we go to fighting weapons using gossip. We go to fighting weapons, well, they hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them back. And that's not how we get down in the New Testament. Did y'all know that? Those aren't the weapons that you and I fight with. Okay? Some of you just go straight to throwing hands. Come on, somebody. You know, we go right into our carnal weapons and we're going to cuss somebody out if we have a bad day. We're going to do this, that, or the other. Or here's another one. When we're struggling in lack, well, we're just going to hustle our way out of lack. That's a carnal weapon, all right? We need to learn about our spiritual weapons. What are the weapons of our warfare? And so quick review, we start talking about the power of the word and how the number one thing as a believer you should be doing every day is reading your Bible. Now, I know that sounds elementary. I know that sounds Sunday schoolish. And we've been telling some of you that since you were this high. But you still ain't doing it. And the problem with that is, if you don't learn the word, you can't do the word. If you don't get the word in your heart, it'll never manifest in your life. The Bible says, Mark 11, 23, 24 tells us this, that if you can get the word of God in your heart, if you can believe in your heart, listen, you can have what you say. Some of us don't have what we've been praying for or have the promises of the word because the word's not in your heart, it's in your head. I tell you what, there are people out there in this world that know a lot of the Bible, they just don't have it in their heart. As we were building and getting this church ready, me and Pastor Willard would be here at the church, and we would meet all the transient guys, all the addicts around here. They would come and build camps in the parking lot and stuff. And we get to talking to them. And you know, many times we would meet a guy, and he would know the scriptures. And we would go to telling him, hey, man, you know, we're praying for you if you ever need anything. He goes, oh, I know the word. And he began to quote scripture after scripture, yet he strung out. Yet he sleeps under a bridge. Yet he lost his entire family. Because it's not about getting the word in your head. It's about getting it in your heart. And this is why in America we have churches full of Christians that can memorize scripture but can't get it into their hearts. And if you can't get it into the heart, you'll never have what you say. Can I get an amen on that? But it all starts with reading the Bible every day. That's it. I shared with you 2 weeks ago about a scientific study. They studied 40,000 Christians between the age of 8 and 88, and they began to look at their daily habits. They found that a Christian that reads the Bible once a week, no change in their life. They looked at another set of Christians that read the Bible at least two times a week, no change. Three times a week, absolutely no change. But then something incredible happened. You can Google that search. Something incredible happened when they reached the people that were reading the Bible at least four times a week. They began to see a decrease in their anger problems. They began to see people set free from pornography. They began to see an attitude change. They began to see all these things. And you can go back on the podcast and listen to that message. But my point is this. When you start reading the Bible, things happen. And I shared with you why that is from Romans chapter 8, when the Bible talks about to us about the law of life in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about that the law of life in Christ Jesus cancels out the law of sin and death. But here's the problem. Most Christians go to church, but we don't operate in the law of freedom in Christ Jesus. And the problem with that will begin to happen is, if you don't operate under the law of life in Christ Jesus, the opposite law takes over, the law of sin and death. And this is why we got churchgoers that go to church, but they still watch pornography all the time, all the time. We still got people that come to church yet get drunk all the time. Can't stop smoking the trees. Just can't stop. And here's the thing, they love Jesus. But they can't stop. And I could go on and on. I could name every person's sin in here that is struggling with it. And it'll stay in your life until you learn to operate in the law of life. Because the law of life cancels out the law of sin and death. What is the law of life? Well, we talked about that. It is the Word of God. Every word written in the pages of that Bible is a spiritual law. In other words, if Jesus said it, it is so. It is a law. It's a law that if Jesus said, do this and you'll have that, it will work in your life. So here's how I enact the law of life in my life. Because here's what happens. When you live in the law of life, you release life into everything that you are and everything you have. Your marriage is in trouble. It's probably because you're operating under the law of sin and death. And that thing's going to die. Unless you can operate under the law of life. Because when your marriage is going through something, you can pump life into that marriage by operating in the law of life. You can pump life into your relationship with your kids if you'll just operate in the law of life. And here's the beautiful thing about the law of life. It literally, because it cancels out the law of sin and death, it will literally change your desires to the things you used to love to do, you don't love no more. It all starts with the word. Some of you are trying to quit your habits just on willpower. Nah, man, you need to get the word in you. Because if you can get the word in you, you'll just stop having the desire to smoke weed. You'll stop having the desire to sleep around. You'll stop having the desire to get drunk and do all that foolishness. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take you loving God's word and getting through all the stuff that's keeping you from God's word every day and going, God, I need your word in my life. I want your word. So the way we enact the law of life in our lives is it's through the word. Now, here's the thing. If you don't know the word, you can't live the word. And the problem with most Christians is we're biblically illiterate. We don't know the word of the God we say we serve. And folks, here's another thing. Wherever there's ignorance, the law of sin and death rules. So what you don't know is killing you. That's why I don't play games as a pastor. I can't. I can't come over here and give you a TED talk, pat you on the head, give you a 20-minute message, and send you home all jacked up. This ain't that church. Because I take serious, if the people that call me pastor are ignorant, I got to answer for that. Can I get an amen on that? So here's the thing. The word is going to hurt you sometimes. Let me rephrase that. The word's not going to hurt you. It's going to hurt the devils in you. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to bring life to you. But the devils in you, oh, they're going to get all offended, all mad, because I'm exposing them. I'm challenging them. And so either the devils are going to have to leave or the devils will make you leave. And we see that all the time. People backslide, go back to the world because they refuse to enact the law of life upon their life. How do we do that? How do we live in the law of life? We read the word, we learn the word, and then here it is. We act upon it. If the word says it, we do it, it becomes one with us. And here's what will happen. It will produce life. And that life will change you. That life will elevate you. See, this was our reason for naming this church Elevate Life Church. Because the way this is supposed to work, your life is supposed to get better and better with every year of serving God. Because you're releasing the law of life. Amen? Now, I didn't say it'll get easier and easier. Challenges come. Tribulations come. Life is hard. Has anybody learned life is hard? Man, life be lifing. Amen? But the thing I have over life is I have the law of life. So whenever I'm dealing with something, I could go to the word and I could find out how to act upon that to produce life. And that life floods into my relationships. It floods into my business. It floods into everything that I have. Church, this is why your mom, your pastors are always trying to tell you, stop sinning. Get rid of sin in your life. It is not your friend. It is actually your kryptonite. It is enacting death into your life. And it's just a matter of time before that death steals, kills, and destroys everything you own. So, you know, when I'm up here and we're preaching and we're like, hey, man, you need to get out of sin. If I'm discipling you and I challenge you, hey, man, stay out of those places. I saw your post. You don't need to be at the club. Hey, man, I saw. And if we're coming to you like that, it's only because we're giving you a warning. Death is coming because it is a spiritual law that when you operate in sin, death follows. Are you tracking with me? See, the church is ignorant of this. That's why in America, you have churchgoers that go to church every week. And they think, if nobody knows I'm doing this, I'm cool. No, you're not cool. Because the act of sin is still bringing death into your life. And what you think is being hid, we'll all be able to see. Because your money will be out of whack. Your relationships will be out of whack. And pretty soon it'll be evident which law you've been operating in. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. And so this is why we have to be mindful of walking in the law of life. Amen. Now let's look over at John chapter 8, 31 and 32. Today what I want to talk about, the weapon that I want to speak about today is the weapon of your words. Your words, okay? John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says this, and then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, listen, if you abide in me and my word, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Now, we have all heard that before, but most of us quote it wrong. We say the truth will set you free. But that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say the truth that you know will set you free. It's not the truth that sets you free. It's the truth you know. The truth that you allow to become one with you. The truth that you engraft by doing will set you free. Can I blow your mind for a minute? There's going to be a lot of people that end up going to the lake of fire, even though they know Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They know it, but it's not going to set them free. You want to know why? Because they don't act upon that. Some of you here, you've been hearing that your whole life, and you still don't follow God. I don't this and I don't that. Listen, just because you know it up here doesn't do anything. It's not until you ask yourself, do I believe that? And if I believe that, what am I going to do about it? I've said this here before. Truth always demands a response. This is why you say amen in church. Come on. This is why you. If I say something that hits your spirit, you should respond. Because truth demands a response. So when you hear the word and you don't respond, you don't become one with it, it can't set you free. And this is the problem we have in America. People go to church for information, not revelation. People go to church for information, not impartation. Information just comes, teach me something else, Pastor. Teach me something else. Some of you read books that have not changed your life. Oh, so-and-so has a new book. Did it do anything for you? No, I just read it. Look, this ain't Harry Potter books, amen? I'm talking about biblical books. We have books in the bookstore there. You know, there's a book in there right now you should get. Pentecost is coming up next week. 70 Reasons for Praying in Other Tongues. That book will change your life. If you do what it says in there. The Bible should change your life if you take a truth and you act on it and become one with it. So Jesus breaks it down here and he says this, if you abide in my word, first step, read his word every day. Tell your neighbor, man, you got to start reading your word. Tell him with an attitude too. Now give them a little look and say, man, it ain't hard. It ain't hard. It ain't hard. And if it is hard, go to the children's bookstore and get you a child's Bible. I ain't playing. I'm being serious. And if it still ain't hitting, go get you. They got a comic book Bible at the Bible bookstore. It's fire too. Yes, it is. But the point is this. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you got to get the word in you. Now, here's the thing. I'm not just speaking to new believers. Some of you have been saved a long time and you still don't have a word life. You still don't have a word life. That's a problem. Tell your neighbor, I'm changing that today. So Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth you know, okay? So here's what we're getting at. The weapon that we're talking about today is the weapon of your words, right? But the whole idea is we've got to get our words to line up with God's word, okay? So look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 and 3, I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation. It says this, so get rid of all evil behavior. I could stop preaching right here. Because some of us still ain't done this. We like our pet sin. We like to break that out for quinceañeras and weddings. Come on, somebody. We like to break this out every now and again. But I got to tell you something. It's not your friend. Drunkenness is not your friend. Getting high is not your friend. It's not your friend. I got to keep going because I feel devil's getting mad. That's all right, though. So get rid of all evil behavior. Look at this. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. That's step one. Let's get rid of all that. But look what it says. And like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. You know what that means? You need the milk of the word so we can finally see you mature. Because some of us have been saved a long time, but you're still a baby. You're still a baby. You still don't act right. Been in church year after year after year, and you will still gossip about somebody like you hate them. You will still carry on and make excuses about your life. But here's what Peter's trying to tell us. Yo, you got to be like a newborn baby. Now, all the moms, it's Mother's Day today. You remember what it was like when you held those babies in your arms, right? Some of them are giants now, but you tried, go back with me, you know? Back when they were little babies and you held them in your arms and you fed them. Do y'all remember what that was like? And y'all remember even after you fed them 4 hours later, they were hungry again. And they weren't nice hungry. Babies never are, amen? Babies got that hangry thing. They don't care if it's 2 a.m. They don't care that you had a hard day. They want that milk. And they needed it every 4 hours. 2 hours. 2 hours? Our kids were 2 hours maybe? I don't know. Okay. I thought it was 4 hours. She would know, not me. So Peter says this, you got to be like that with the word. Some of us aren't like that. We're good with coming to church once a week and getting the word. And you're believing that this is going to carry you all the way through. It ain't. Some of us only open the Bible twice a week. Oh, that's good. No, it ain't. And this is why we don't mature. This is why we still offend it easy. This is why we still don't serve. We still don't like people telling us what to do. We still don't give. We have no miracles in our lives. Guys, it all starts with the word. So Peter says this, you got to be like those babies. You got to desire the word. So you got to put it in your routine every day. I'm going to read my Bible. And for many of us, once a day, don't cut it. We do it in the morning. We do it before bed. Are you tracking with me today? Because he says that's what grows us up. It all comes down to God's word. God's word. And the key is we want to get our words to line up with God's words. Now, look over here at Revelation chapter 12, 10 and 11 on the screen there. We're talking about the weapons of your words now. It says here, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. Listen, for the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. This is talking about Satan. And what it's revealing to us is Satan's number one weapon is accusation, which is words. It's words. So he's coming and he's releasing words about you, towards your thoughts, towards others, and of course before God. But look what it says. He's been cast down. And here's what it says about our weapons. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. The word of your testimony. Another translation says it like this. The word of your confession. Our confession is how we defeat anything that Satan throws your way. Are you dealing with lack in your personal finances or your business? Start using your words. Is your marriage deteriorating? Start using your words. Are you depressed? Start using your words. Is trauma beating you down? Start using your words. Because we overcome the enemy by the blood of Jesus. Now that first part is what Jesus did. His blood was shed to bring us into the family of God so we can all overcome Satan. But the second part is you and I using our words. Are you tracking with me today? Now, here's where the power comes in, right? The power comes in. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1:12. Because what I am not teaching you is this foolishness called manifesting. If you claim to be a follower of God, get that out of your vocabulary. Because it's demonic twisting of a biblical truth. And YouTube influencers and Instagram people are on there. Well, I'm manifesting because I am speaking this into my future. But you know what they're missing? The God factor. They're trying to get results without God in the spirit realm. That's called witchcraft. And that is enacting the law of sin and death into your life. Can I get an amen on that? And while I'm at it, horoscopes are the same thing. You're not a Scorpio, Gemini. You're a Christian. Somebody's demons are getting all upset right now. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying. Gosh, you devils. And let me tell you why it is wrong. Because it connects you to the law of sin and death. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not a game. It's not a game. So we don't do that because I don't want to be connected to the law of sin and death. When I want to know about my future, I go to God's word. When I want to know about my future, I turn to God's word. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 in the New International Version. It says, "And the Lord said to me, 'You have seen correctly.'" Look what God says. "For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." I am watching to see that my word, another translation says, comes to pass. God is looking around the globe for his word because it's his responsibility to fulfill it. So as we're talking about the word, the weapon of your words, the key is this. We need to get our words to line up with God's word because God is looking to perform his word. So when I can declare his word over my family, it is so. If I can confess his word into my marriage, it is so. If I can find scripture that talks about me prospering in life, he is looking to perform that word. See, the word that it uses in Revelations 12 is the word homologio. Homologio, I'm probably butchering that, but I'm Mexican, not Greek. That sounds like a good name for a kid right there. Homologio, come over here. So, yeah, yes, it has a good ring to it, right? Some of you are trying it out. Homologio, dinner's ready. Okay. So look at the Greek word homologio means this, to say the same thing. The confession and the key to confession is to say the same thing God's saying. What is God's word saying about you? That's what needs to come out of our mouth. What is God's word saying about your life? That's what should be coming out of your mouth. Look at this one, Psalms 145 verse 13. Oh, this is a good one. If you don't have this highlighted in your Bible on your phone, listen, call your tattoo artist right now, okay? Because this is a good one right here. All right. "For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations." This is the part. This is the part right here. "And the Lord always keeps his promises." Always. 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 But it's only for those that believe. It's only for those who can do what Mark 11, 23, 24 says. Have faith in God. And we've been taught, if you go to this church, you should know this already. What is faith? Faith is believing and speaking. Mark 11, 23 actually says, have the God kind of faith in the Greek. What is the God kind of faith? How did God create the universe? Did he get cosmic hammers out? Did he shoot lasers out of his eyes? Did he get some kind of thing going on and build us out of this or that? The Bible is very clear. He said, let there be light. And there was light. God creates with his words. The book of Hebrews says our lives are framed by the word of God. Church, you got to use your words. It's one of your greatest weapons. You got to use your words. Look at Matthew 10, 32. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. Write it down, take notes, go over it later on your own. See, it's important you see it on your own for yourself. We got too many Christians just listening to the preacher. Oh, my preacher says this. My preacher says this. Listen, it's not my word that's going to break you through. It's God's word. You got to see it for yourself. Matthew 10, 32, 33 says this. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Salvation is through confession. You know how you got saved? The confession. Everything you're going to receive from God also comes that same way. Your confession. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. You have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. I want you to think about something right now. And that, according to this scripture, the life you have right now is because of things you said back when. Think about that for a moment. I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. That's what you're living in. I don't know how it's going to be possible we're going to get our house. That's what you're living in. Now, I don't want to draw you back. I want to draw you forward. When you get the revelation of that, it's not about what you did before. It's about what you're going to do now. Because you're all smart here today. Amen? Yes. Ain't no dummies at Elevate Life Church. Did you hear what I say? Ain't no dummies at Elevate Life Church. I'm not going to let you be here and be a dummy. Amen? We're going to teach you the word. So ain't no dummies here, right? So we're wise people, right? So a wise person would read that and say, I got to make some changes. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13 says this, the wicked are trapped by their own words. But the godly escape such trouble. Proverbs 15, 4. Let me read it to you in the Passion Translation. When you speak healing words, you offer others fruit from the tree of life. But unhealthy negative words do nothing but crush people's hopes. Proverbs 18, 21, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. Are y'all seeing this today? Your words matter. Your words build the life that you want to have. Your words have power, they have life, or they have death. And after today, it's time some of us quit speaking death. So here's the issue, right? Here's what I want to leave you with before I let you go. With a word like this, we tend to hear it with our carnal ears. And we tend to go, oh man, I got to fix the way I'm talking. Oh man, praise God, that's a good word. So I'm going to walk out of here and I'm just going to stop saying negative things. And we try to fix this with our willpower. That's not how you fix this. See, because we're so ignorant to the word, we always want to change the fruit, but you can't change the fruit until you change the root. So religious people will hear a word like this, and we'll start just, oh, I ain't never saying nothing bad again. Don't say that. That's a bad confession. And they're just checking people's fruit, checking their own fruit. And then it becomes a religious game. I've been to churches where we would have what you would call confession cops, where they're the people that always want to correct somebody else on their confession. Woo, woo, pull over. You're confessing something bad, sister. That's not what God's word says. And they want to correct everybody else. They're confession cops. Stop. Tell your neighbor, mind your business. Uh-oh, come on, somebody. We don't need confession cops here. Because all a confession cop can do is address the fruit. Right? And so we hear a word like this, I'm going to go home. I ain't going to say nothing negative anymore. I'm going to fix this. Yeah, but see, you're missing where the fruit comes from, because the word of God says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So some of you have tried to stop cussing. Some of you have not. Amen. You just don't do it in front of pastor or church folks. But the moment you go home, you cuss at your kids. Cuss at your spouse. And you're like, okay, pastor, I ain't doing that no more. But see, you will continue to do that until you address the root. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you want to know why filth comes out of you? Why you can't stop saying the F word and the S word and all these other words? You want to know why that comes out of you? Because it's in your heart. So the moment you get mad, son of a mother, because it's an indicator. It's an indicator what's in your heart. That's all it is. So don't walk out of here going, oh, I ain't going to say. No, no. I want you to walk out of here going, dang. The problem is really what I've allowed in my heart. Because you ain't never going to get fruit out of your mouth until you adjust the root in your heart. So did you know I never had to try to stop cussing? And let me tell y'all didn't know that, Sergio. That guy's dead. But in high school, I was the guy that they said, man, you cuss too much. And they weren't even Christians. But did you know when I got saved? Boom, it just left. Because I began to read the word. I began to do the word. I began to speak the word. And when God changed what was in my heart, my words changed. So we've got to address the root. This isn't a word of, I'm just going to buckle down. And it's not a word of discipline. It's a word to show you, you've got to get the word of God in your heart. And how do we do that, Pastor? How do we get the word of God in our heart? I'm so glad you asked before I let you go. It has to do with your confession. Psalms 45:1 puts it like this, beautiful words stir my heart. I will recite a lovely poem about the king. Listen, for my tongue is like a pen of a skillful poet. So I want you to walk out of here today knowing this. Your tongue is a pen. and it writes things. Where does it write them, Pastor? So glad you asked. Boy, you guys are attentive today. Proverbs 3:3 says this, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Here it is. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Your words are being written on your heart. How did the junk get in our heart that's in our heart? Maybe from quoting Mac Dre lyrics. Got real quiet in this Baptist church all of a sudden. Rest in peace, Mac Dre. I get it. I understand. Maybe from quoting all the Tupac lyrics. Or DaBaby. Or Lil Baby. Or Big Baby. Y'all ain't heard about him, either you. Music, confessing lyrics, writes on your heart. Maybe this is why you can't be faithful to one girl. Maybe this is why every time you get a boyfriend, you sleep with him. Because while you're driving in your car, hey, you're just singing whatever filth with your tongue, and it's being written on your heart. And then later on, it comes out in actions. Here's another big one, right? You ever say something you wish you didn't say to your spouse? To your kids? And you ever notice the damage it can be done? Because you just didn't say it to their ears. You said it to their heart. I can't tell you how many people my wife and I counsel. We sit across them on the couch and they sit there and tell me, I'm like this because my mom said this about me. My dad called me this. My teacher in the third grade said I'd never be anything. And at first glance, you go, man, shake that off. Until you realize what the Word of God says. That they used their tongue to write something on your heart. And unless you rewrite what's on your heart, that stays there. That's why some of us have done so much damage in our marriages. Because you get mad, you just go, you're this, you're that. So here's the thing. If you've had garbage written on your heart, take control. And start writing your own story on your heart. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Come on, somebody. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. With Christ Jesus on my side, there is nothing I cannot do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For this is the victory that overcomes the world. And you start writing these things. Guys, I'm not preaching to you theory. This is how I've lived my life for 30 years. When I was a single young man, believing for a wife, I didn't stay home crying, I'm so lonely. God, what's gonna happen? When's she gonna come? I didn't do that. You know what I would do? I'd get in my car and I would go to this area where they were building houses and nobody lived yet. And I'd like to be outside when I pray. So I'd park my car and I'd put some worship music on. And I would walk next to my car saying, Father, I thank you that you're providing me with a wife. Oh, Lord God, I thank you that I don't have to worry. I don't have to sit here and wonder if I'm ever going to get married. Lord, I thank you. You have a wife for me. Lord, and I thank you that just like me, she has a call to the nations of the earth. And just like me, she loves you with her whole heart. And just like me, she wants to serve you all of her days. And I would confess that. I was, Father, I thank you that she's out there. And I would say, and Father, you created me, so you know what I like. oh, Lord, you know what I like. And she's going to be everything that I like. Oh, she's going to look good, Lord. God, don't blame me. You gave me these desires, Lord God. And I would walk and I would say, she's going to be beautiful. She's going to be everything I need. She's going to be able to handle me getting on airplanes and going to the nations, and spoke all that stuff. And it would make me happy. It would make, I would pull away from that parking place acting like it's done. I did that for 7 years. 7 years. That's what kept me going single. I didn't sleep with nobody. I had no scandals, waiting on my promise. And one day she came like a ray of light. She came. But you know, I didn't stop there. When I would get done doing that, I'd walk around my car and say, Father, I thank you for children. Oh, my God. Father, my children are going to be something else. Father, I thank you that I won't have to pick up my kids at the courthouse. I won't have to take them to trial, Lord God, because they are going to serve you with us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we're going to follow you all of their days, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. They're going to look good because look at me, God. Look at me. You made me like this. So they're going to be handsome. They're going to be beautiful. They're going to be smart. And I would say, God, they're not going to be addicts like my cousins and my uncles. No, 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 God, we're of a different cloth. They are not going to be addicts. They will not be addicted to drugs, and they will not be addicted to alcohol. I speak all this stuff before my wife even came. Everything I have, I've operated in this principle. You are sitting this morning on my words. I want you to think about that. We had a good life in Florida. God said, I want you to go to Sacramento and build a church for me. We said, okay. And from that moment on, in my prayer time, I would say, Father, I thank you that there is a people that are coming that will be Elevate Life Church. And this little church will touch the nations of the earth. And people will come from all. And I just began to speak it for years, years. There are some things I'm speaking now that you're going to begin to see in the next 5 to 10 years. Because we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So this is what I leave you with today. Whatever you're fighting right now, whatever you're believing for, it may look impossible. It may look like it ain't never gonna happen. Start using your words. Start using your words. Start speaking the future that you want to have. Start getting God's word in your heart. We're ordering some more of these. I know they've sold out. I call this the switchblade. Because whatever I'm going through, there are pages that have all the scriptures. If I'm going through financial problems, I can go over here to page 55 and I could sit in my car. I come into this place and I say, Father, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives me great power to get wealth. Lord, you said it. I agree with it. I confess it. And Lord, right now I'm needing a new car. And Lord, I don't have the money for it. But Lord God, I believe that as I tithe and as I give, Deuteronomy 8:18 comes into my life and the power to get wealth is mine. Lord, I thank you for a new car. It's coming. Are you tracking with me today? Oh, Pastor, why are you praying for stuff like that? Because I need a new car. Oh, but Pastor, we shouldn't use the word for things like that. We should be praying for souls. Listen, I'll win more souls if I got a car that I could take my family around in on. Get your religious self out of here. Watch how much better I preach in a better car. Come on, somebody. Watch. But my point is this. Use the word.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get word every week from Elevate Life Church.